Thank you for joining us today with Cindy Sherwood's podcast, Words for the Journey.
I have a lot of little grandkids in my life, much to my delight. They are so fun. I love hearing what they say when they pray together. They usually go one of two directions. God, please help the whole world. Or, God, please heal the sore on my knee. Or whatever the boo-boo of the day is. They go big and they go small. I love it. It shows they understand the immensity of God, that He's bigger than the entire universe. And they understand that God sees them individually and cares about their little world too. Today I want to get into some deeper issues regarding our prayer life. Having a habit of prayer is excellent. Any habit is better than no habit. But if our prayers are not more than what a little child prays, we're missing something wonderful. I've heard many people describe their prayer life as shooting arrows. Whenever they have a problem, they shoot a quick prayer up to heaven, sort of a, God, I need your help to fix this prayer. And that, they say, is their prayer life. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging our need of God throughout the day. I think this is what Paul was getting at in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, when he said, pray continually. It is good to foster an awareness of God's presence with us through the day and our consistent need of Him. But our prayer life can be so much more than just the occasional, Lord, help me. I think it's easy to get into a prayer habit that is fairly rote and boring. Let's see how we can get more. Prayer is the foundation of our relationship with the Lord. And wherever we are in our journey with Him, our prayers will reflect that reality. When we're distant in our relationship, our prayers are nowhere to be found. It is the best gauge of how we are currently doing with the Lord, the condition of our prayer life. If we're struggling there, the place to address it and fix it is in our private prayer life. We need daily time alone with God, a time that includes prayer. And for most of us, that works best first thing in the morning. If you can make that work some other time of the day, that's great. Normally, though, once we get rolling with our day, there's no turning back to a quiet place of solitude. My conversation with the Lord begins when I open my Bible and begin reading a few chapters of Scripture. I frequently start with this quick prayer, Lord, open my eyes to see and my ears to hear what You are saying to me today. This is how I open the conversation with God, and He takes it from there. I read with the knowledge and awareness that these words are God's words, words He's chosen for me today. And it is my desire to take them in. As an aside, I have created a method of Bible reading where God actually chooses each book I read. It's called the Bible Reading Box and is available on our website. If you're interested, check it out. After I finish listening to God talk to me, then I go back and scan what I just read, pulling out a few verses where I felt God nudge me on something. Sometimes there are so many to choose from, I have to pare it down. Other times, I'm looking hard to find something. But when I do, I write out each verse, word for word, and then respond back to God about that verse. Responding back is key. Remember, this is a relationship, not a religious task. That's my third round of prayer. And I haven't even gotten to my official prayer time of the day. Writing out Scripture helps God's Word stick. It helps me remember it better, and by responding back to God about it, I'm choosing in my will to receive it. What I write in my journal after recording those few Scriptures is prayer. Here's what I recently wrote in my journal. After I read Ezekiel 3:10, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. Then I wrote this, Father, give me an open, trusting, obedient heart and mind. After I read 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Then I wrote this, Father, please bring rest to my troubled soul. I read this in Mark 12:31, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then I wrote this, Father, by your grace, let me be one who loves as you love. I do these things because I want the most from my relationship with the Lord. I don't read the Bible and pray so that I can earn heavenly brownie points. I do it to grow in the depth of my love with God. So my reading is part of my communication with the Lord, part of my prayer. And this prepares me for what we typically think of as the prayer portion of our daily worship time. But before I get there, the Lord and I have already been talking with each other quite a bit. In a few minutes, I'll tell you about a journal you can get to help you with this process. Praying for our needs is important, and God tells us to do this, but I don't begin there. I begin by acknowledging the Lord and what he's done, who he is, and give glory to him. I express my gratefulness to him that he's my God. The first thing I want him to know is how much I want to be there with him. Then I pray through what I call the category of the day. Well, there are so many things that need to be prayed through on a regular basis. I would be there for hours if I tried to cover everything every day. Besides, it's difficult to keep prayers fresh when you do that. So I have separated the major categories into each of 7 days. My list is irrelevant to your life, so there's no point in copying my list. But to give you an idea, I'll share the categories. Sunday is authority day, so I pray for my husband, pastor's church, and church family. Monday, I pray for all the classes currently going on around the nation in my ministry, and I pray for my ministry staff. Tuesday, I pray for the ministry at home, our board members, projects, and the Lord's power, protection, and provision to be over us. Wednesday, I pray for myself. I didn't include this for a long time, but I finally realized this is far from a selfish use of my prayer time. In fact, it was essential if I was going to live as God wanted me to live. I want intimacy with the Lord. I want our relationship to be as close as it can be, so I need to be aware of blockage. Wednesday is my day to prayerfully consider the things that might be interfering with that closeness. The first would have to be, of course, sin. So part of Wednesday includes regular confession. Now, I confess my sin whenever I'm aware of it, but on Wednesday I pray more extensively. I have many prayer verses I use for this prayer. Currently, I have one in 2 Samuel 24:10. I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. From there I get specific with God. Another roadblock to intimacy is bitterness and unforgiveness. Is there anyone with whom I am holding a grudge? Have I been offended and chosen to hang on to the offense rather than letting it go to Jesus? Well, this is the time to give it up, to forgive my offender. Forgiveness is good for the soul and good for our relationship with Jesus. I always pray for wisdom and direction this day. James tells us to ask for this, and if we do, God promises to give it to us. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. After that, I pray through anything else relevant to me personally. Thursday is my extended family and my marriage. Friday is my list of temporary requests, anyone in my life with a special prayer need. This is where all new situations get added. I currently have two friends struggling with cancer whom I'm praying for. Saturday is my children and grandchildren. Probably my greatest tool in my prayer life is praying scripture. I have quite a stack of 3x5 cards that I have prayed through for weeks, years, and even decades. I have a couple right now I've been praying through for over 10 years. I have a fairly new one right now I'm praying through to work off another rough edge of mine, an area where I am not acting like Christ, at least not consistently. When I come across them in my reading, I write them down on a card and put them in my journal. Then I pull them out once a week and pray it through. Something else I regularly pray through is an obedient will. A frequent prayer of mine is this: Father, please align my thoughts and desires with yours. Make your will my will. Fighting pride is no fun. I don't want to have any desires that are not in line with God's desires for me. So I ask for this. This leads me right into issues where I have a decision to make and need God's input. Hearing God's answer to a question can be a tricky thing. However, I encourage you not to shy away from this. It is true that no one hears perfectly 100% of the time, but that doesn't mean we should not ask and listen and seek to discern His answer. If I have some time before the decision has to be made, what I'll do is begin praying for God to form His will in me. I'll pray this for days or even weeks before I actually ask His answer. Then when I need to know, I pop the question, God, is this your will or not? Then I listen to the answer. Usually I will feel an inclination or something inside. I might ask a second time, God, I believe I'm hearing you say, da da da, is this correct? And if there's still time, I'll pray it through again tomorrow, listening to the inner voice. Then at some point I need to act, so I'll pray this. Lord, as best as I can discern your will, I believe you are telling me to go this or that direction. If I'm not hearing correctly, please show me. This is about the best we can do. And if our heart is in the right place and we are truly seeking God's will know inside if we're on the right track or not. Just like anything else, the more we do this, the more we practice listening, the better we will get at discerning God's voice. And the easier it will be to recognize that check in our spirit that tells us something is not right. This style of back and forth prayer dialogue and conversation is the one we use in my Bible study, Resting in Jesus. It is a 9-week study designed to help participants make a greater place in their heart and life for Jesus. And rather than your typical Bible study homework, it includes a 45-day devotional using the same process I just described. We even have a journal that includes 2 months of pages that will prompt you through these steps each day. You can order this from our website if you would like. We also have a quiet time kit that includes the journal and Bible reading box, plus a tote bag, pen, and mug. Our prayers reflect our beliefs. If we believe God sees us and cares about us, then we will pray as such. If we believe the purpose of this life is not about us, that our purpose is to serve God and live the life He created us to live, then our prayers will reflect that and we will start to go deeper with God. Instead of the constant, I need this and I need that, we'll begin to pray boldly. We'll have the courage to ask God to make us uncomfortable, to stretch us, to move into new areas of service and obedience. Now that's an exciting prayer. We'll ask God to prepare us and use us. We will become bold. There's no reason for us to be stuck in a joyless prayer life, one of mechanical and repetitious prayers. Our Heavenly Father is an immense being with unfathomable qualities. There's always something new to learn about Him and experience together. Our prayer life can be part of this. In fact, in a large way, our prayers launch our great adventure with Him. All Scripture is from the New King James Version, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you for listening to Cindy Sherwood's podcast. Visit us on the web at hishealinglight.org to learn more about our ministry. Please consider rating us on iTunes or your other favorite music app. God's best to you today.